is the JR Sport Brief Show here with you coast to coast on the Infinity Sports Network. I'm coming to you live from Atlanta, Georgia. Much love and many thanks to everybody tuned in and locked in all over North America, wherever you are, whatever you're doing, wherever you're at. I hope you're well. I hope you're safe. I hope you had a tremendous weekend. I hope you had a great start to your week. I hope you had a good Monday. I'll be hanging out with you for the next 4 hours. Congratulations. You're here when the show starts. This is when I get going every weekday. 6 p.m. Eastern, 3 Pacific. I might be in Atlanta, Georgia. Thank you so much to our super producer and host, Ryan Hickey, holding it down for us in New York City. Oh, man, we had a lot happen over the weekend. Damn it. We had a lot happen today. We going to talk about it. Buffalo Bills beat the Chiefs yesterday. Well, they can do it in the regular season. What are they going to do in the postseason? Ravens fall to the Steelers. Unfortunately, it's something Lamar Jackson is used to. We're going to have Jonas Schaefer joining us next hour from the Baltimore Banner. We saw Mike Tyson and Jake Paul do whatever the hell they did on Friday. I have no idea. Man, we got the Texans and the Cowboys tonight. And I can't wait to tell you something that happened at Dallas Cowboys Stadium. I'll tell you what happened in a few minutes before the game. Crazy stuff. And John Jones is beating people up in Madison Square Garden at UFC. Tonight, we're going to find out who the hell a rookie of the years are. Is that how the English is? I don't know. We're going to talk about both of them later on in the show when they get announced. The Georgia Bulldogs showing some life. LSU cooked. Deion wants some respect. Put some respect on Colorado's name. Man, we have so much to get into. What a day. What a weekend. New York Giants have told Daniel Jones, sayonara. It's just a lot to do. And then also over the weekend, we learned that Inside the NBA on TNT, it's been saved. It'll be on ESPN. Who cares what channel it's on as long as the guys are around. They'll be around in different times and whatnot, but they'll still be around. Hey, I'm happy to be here with you. You can always tune in the show on the free Odyssey app, on your local Infinity Sports Network affiliate. If you got SiriusXM, it's channel 158. If you have a smart speaker, ask the speaker to play the Infinity Sports Network. You can find me online. I'm on the internet. I'm everywhere. I am at JR Sport Brief. And if you want to call, if you want to be a part of the show, you can do so. 855-212-4227. That's 855-212-4227. Hickey, how are you, man? You doing straight? You good?
I'm good, JR, yeah. Hanging in here on a Monday.
I'm happy to hear that. I'm happy that you're okay. And I just mentioned this a few seconds ago. I am happy that everybody in Dallas is okay. Did you hear? Well, tonight we got a crap matchup. Nobody wants to watch the Texans and the Cowboys. The only point of watching this game is to see if the Texans can, quote unquote, right the ship after their two-game losing streak here. What does C.J. Stroud do with Nico Collins coming back? And that's it. This is a get-right game for the Houston Texans, and this is just an ugly one for the Dallas Cowboys, of which they've had many ugly losses and just ugly games this season. Now we got to watch Cooper Rush. Great. Great. Okay. Anyway, Hickey, did you hear that a piece of the roof, like a sheet of roof fell off, like a 10-piece of roof? Did you hear that?
Right before I walked in here, I saw the story and could not. There was a lot of things I was shocked about, including the fact that, did you know the roof opens? I had no idea.
Yes, they haven't opened it in 2 years. Yeah.
They've opened it that recently? Oh, I assumed it was never open.
Oh, man. Yeah, 2 years ago.
Oh, interesting.
And so, yeah, so for anyone not familiar, yes, the Dallas Cowboys roof does open. Why they don't open it all the time, I do not know. I don't know. Maybe too much sun on Sundays. I have no idea. Here's the deal. They haven't opened up the damn roof in 2 years at Dallas Cowboys Stadium. Today, they decided to open up the roof. And in typical Cowboys fashion, and forget the Dallas Cowboys, in typical anybody fashion, when you don't use something for a long time and you decide to utilize it because you want to be a show off, it just doesn't work. And thank God, well, thank God nobody got hurt in this instance, because a giant piece of sheet metal fell from the roof when they opened up the roof, okay? You haven't used it in 2 years. You open it up for a football game. And from my estimation, just by looking at this, this thing looks like it's, I don't know, 12 feet long. It's 8 to 12 feet. I can't judge by the photo. But it's a big-ass piece. And it says that it fell near multiple production people, I assume for ESPN tonight. Well, ABC, ESPN, Monday Night Football. And it didn't hit anybody. Thank God. You know, everybody was yelling at Jerry Jones about the stupid sunlight coming through and he didn't put a shade up. And CeeDee Lamb is like, I wish we had a shade. And Jerry Jones is saying, hey, the last coach knew when the sun was coming. Maybe you need to do better. And today, who cares about the damn shade? Worry about the roof. And so a few minutes ago, the Dallas Cowboys, I guess they did the prudent thing. I guess maybe. They said, we don't need another piece of sheet metal falling from the roof while the game is going on. Maybe we can just close the roof. Yeah, that'd be a good idea. Or maybe, I don't know, what the hell do I know? Did a plane fly by and drop something out of the... I don't know. What a coincidence. The Cowboys open up the roof and a piece of sheet metal fell from it. You can't make this stuff up. Use this as a lesson for the holidays. People are coming over. You know, you want to show off your gadgets. You want to light up that fireplace that you never use. And all of a sudden things go up in flames. Take note. Before people come over, try, I don't know, use it. Hey, in a different way. You want to cook something for the holidays? Do yourself a favor. Don't try no new stuff. And stick to old reliable. If the roof doesn't open, leave the damn roof closed. Apply that to your food as well. Don't try no new crap and test it out on all your guests. Hickey will hate your guts if you do that. Right, Hickey?
That's right. I will hate you. And you do not want that.
Yeah, you don't want Hickey hating you. What an omen. Hickey, is this the score's not going to be like what the Lions did to the Jaguars yesterday, right? No?
Oof.
Not today.
Not today, but yeah. With Nico Collins coming back and this Cowboys team right now looking like a disaster, could it be close?
Wow.
Maybe.
Yeah, it might be an ass-whooping today. Battle of Texas. We got Houston and Dallas, and Dallas can't even keep its stadium from falling apart. We'll keep you up to date on the game. Scheduled to kick off in about 2 hours from now. God willing, and hopefully nothing else falls from the sky. I just hope that's not the case. And, hey, speaking of the Jacksonville Jaguars, we're going to talk about all the miserable-ass teams. We'll get there, okay? Trust me. We're going to get to the Bears and the Jets, and we'll get to them later on in the show. Let's talk about some good stuff right now, okay? Let's talk about what was the premier game. Yesterday, and we had two good ones, okay? I enjoyed the Buffalo Bills and the Chiefs. When these two teams play, they do not miss. We had Jim Nance proclaim that Josh Allen's game-winning rushing touchdown was ultimately the play of the year. I'm not going to dispute. Who cares? It's one guy's opinion. What's the big stinking deal? And now the Buffalo Bills have won 6 straight games. Josh Allen, and if people call me from Buffalo all the time, what's up to all the wonderful people in Western New York? They call me all the time. Buffalo Bills need more attention. The Buffalo Bills need more love. And Josh Allen, MVP. And I always tell them, who cares? Who cares? Like, don't you want to win a Super Bowl? Who gives a damn? Maybe this is a confidence boost, but this is a team that they beat the Chiefs in the regular season. And unfortunately, they don't do it in the playoffs. So who cares about what happens right now? The Bills have a record of 9-2. The Chiefs are now 9-1. And they always give us great damn games. Josh Allen, after the game, he was asked if this was a spectacular win. And this was his response.
It means we got to 9 wins. I know it's from perception, outside perception, it's a really big game. And what it means for both fan bases and the league. We're in week 11.
Yeah, there's more football left. Good for the Bills. 6-game winning streak. got a couple of players banged up. They got a bye. They get a chance to kick their feet up and relax just a little bit. And then they got to take on San Francisco, which is trying to get itself together, trying to go on a stretch run, but they keep losing to everybody in their own division. Josh Allen is now 4-4 against the Chiefs all time. But as he said before they even got to the game, who cares? I need to beat them. I need to beat Mahomes in the playoffs. So what does his head coach, Sean McDermott, think about this? Is this a big-time win for the Bills? Did you guys kick the Chiefs in the behind? Tell me, Sean.
It's not a statement. It's the next game, and it's hard to win games. You know that. And to win nine and to win against a team that's won back-to-back Super Bowls and coached by Andy Reid and quarterbacked by Patrick Mahomes, it's always going to be tough. These games that we've played have always been close.
Yeah, no, games are always close. Four and four. That's what the Buffalo Bills are. That's what Josh Allen is. 4-4 against this team. That's about even to me. 500, right? I'm going to say it again, except for you need to do it when it matters. And the Chiefs, a big deal. People talking all season long, and not all season, more recently. Oh, they're undefeated. Oh, something about the Dolphins. Who's paying attention to that? Get me all the way until we got like two games left in the regular season, and then tell me about a perfect season. And let's also remember, they gotta play 17 games. The Kansas City Chiefs have just been rolling through everybody. A 15-game winning streak snapped by losing to these Buffalo Bills. Let's also keep in mind, four out of their nine wins have come on like the final play of a game. Just last week, the Kansas City Chiefs barely got by Denver by blocking a field goal. They're still trying to figure out and integrate DeAndre Hopkins full time. He had two touchdowns in the last game. Yesterday, only three catches with 29 yards. Travis Kelce, people looking for him earlier in the season, he only had two catches for 8 yards. At least the Chiefs, they get a little bit of a get-right game coming up. They take on the Panthers. If they don't whoop up on the Carolina Panthers, then the Kansas City Chiefs have some problems. The Buffalo Bills, one of the best teams in the entire NFL. They don't sweat on losing to them. What do you take away from yesterday's game? Well, Andy Reid said, because he's a coach, he's a teacher, man, we could learn some things from this.
It's a great game to learn from for some of our young guys. Two good teams play each other. The margin between winning and losing is small, man. And so, and that starts with me. We can all learn from it and take something out of this and make us better down the road here. So we'll do that.
Yeah, coach is going to find something wrong with anything anyway. That's what coaches do, right? Got to pick things apart, find ways that they can improve. All things considered, if the Kansas City Chiefs need anything, they need players, but I don't think you could find like a left tackle, a suitable wide receiver. You got to work through these things. You just got Hopkins in the building. Can't fix injuries either. And so what is the most important guy to this formula? Think about this. What does Patrick Mahomes feel after losing to the Buffalo Bills? Listen to Mahomes.
You can use it as fuel. I mean, like I said, it's a good football team, so nothing to hang your head out head on. I'm losing to them, but we feel like we can play better, so we'll get back to work and try to use this as a spark so that we can be a better football team in the end. And the undefeated thing was cool, but that's not our ultimate goal, so we'll keep building towards that.
Yeah, who cares about that stuff? Who cares? You just heard the man. The ultimate goal is to go out there and win the Vince Lombardi Trophy. Which is why it doesn't even matter for the Buffalo Bills. Yes, this was a good game. This was a great game. This was a confidence gaining or building game. The Buffalo Bills needed this more than the Kansas City Chiefs. And so if you're a Buffalo Bills fan out there, you know this too. Do it in the postseason. I wouldn't be surprised if the Buffalo Bills beat the Chiefs in the playoffs. They're a good team. They go blow for blow with them. They treat it like a legitimate fight, not like that crap we saw between Mike Tyson and that other guy, Jake Paul. Like, this is a real fight between the Chiefs and the Buffalo Bills. This is what we get. It's up for the Buffalo Bills. They got to get over the hump. That's it. Are they prone to do it? Can they do it? Yes, of course. But it's not going to matter as much in November. Let me know what they do in January. And keep doing the damn thing. Don't switch things up. Don't try to get fancy come January. You don't be the Dallas Cowboys, okay? Or at least don't act like them in maintenance of the stadium. Don't try nothing new in January. Do what the hell you've been doing, except for actually win this go-round. It's as simple as that. It's the JR Sport Brief Show here with you coast to coast on the Infinity Sports Network. We are just getting warmed up. Man, we're going to get into Sunday night. Because what we saw last night, congratulations to the Chargers for actually not choking at the end of a game, even though they almost choked away a game. I told you we're going to get into the Georgia Bulldogs right down the road from me, trying to show everybody that they're not cooked. Deion wants respect. BYU takes a loss. Man, earlier today, Daniel Jones, he got the boot. The Giants said, sit your behind on the bench. We got Jonas Schaefer from the Baltimore Banner joining us next hour. The Baltimore Ravens fall into the Steelers again. That's another team similar to the Buffalo Bills that need to get over the hump. We're going to talk about inside the NBA coming to ESPN. We're going to get into the actual football between Houston and Dallas. Oh, yeah, it's going to be bad football. We have so much to get into. If you want to be a part of the show, it's real simple. 855-212-4227. That's 855-212-4227. When we come back on the other side of the break, we're going to talk more NFL football. I want to tell you about some of these college teams that have already improved their stock and standing as they march towards the playoff. We're going to get into it all.
You're listening to the JR Sport Brief.
Nonsense. Man, we always get a lot of nonsense. We're going to talk about that fight. Was it a fight? Were they playing patty cake? Like, I don't know what the hell they were doing on Friday. Mike Tyson, Jake, what? Hickey, were they fighting? What were they doing?
They were standing.
Oh, yeah.
They were circling. They definitely were circling, without a doubt.
They were doing one of those duels, right? You stand in the middle of the ring, you put up your dukes, that old man fighting stance, you lean back, put your dukes out, right? Move them shoulders and them arms, and you just walk in a circle.
Yeah. Wait for the other guy to swing first.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
Swing first. Swing first. Yeah, well, no one ever swings first.
We'll get into that nonsense, you know, later on in the show. Pretty hilarious what took place. Not if you're Mike Tyson. You made $20 million. Good for him. He could reinvest that money in his greenery business. I think that's where Mike Tyson is spending a lot of his time. And speaking of greenery, I don't know if this is an appropriate transition. Hick, you know, here at Sanford Stadium in Georgia, we got them hedges. I was going to call them stupid hedges on the side of the field, right?
You're going to call them stupid hedges? Wow. Yeah, strong words. Between the hedges. Come on. They're iconic.
I didn't. I said I was. I was thinking I was. The stupid hedges. Anyway, look, you asked me before we got on air. It's like, hey, did I go out to the game? Hell no, I did not. I did not. Because I didn't want to spend 4 hours trying to get home, even though the stupid place is only 90 minutes. Maybe that's why I call the hedges stupid. And I would have been even more upset, even though it was a Georgia Bulldogs victory. I'm very particular. I want to see a good game. I didn't want to drive a million hours and be gone all day and all night to see this. I'm glad that Georgia won. Because at the beginning of the game, I'm saying to myself, oh, Tennessee is just going to. He's going to run away with this. You know, how many interceptions is Carson Beck going to throw? And then Georgia's defense took over. And Tennessee didn't score no more, and they lost. The Bulldogs beat him 31-17. And Carson Beck, to his credit, congratulations. This man threw two touchdowns. Let me say it again. He threw two touchdowns, not two interceptions. This man has been a turnover machine over the past several games. The Georgia Bulldogs, I've quit on them two times already this season. I've had enough. I look at them and I say, how the hell am I going to believe in the Georgia Bulldogs as a legitimate championship contender when the quarterback is just handing the ball over to everybody else? Well, congratulations to them. We'll find out how they look in the playoff rankings tomorrow. But in the AP Top 25, they have already moved from the 11th spot to the 8th spot. They have UMass next, which just dumped their head coach. UMass is a waste of time. And Kirby Smart, he ain't just talking to me. He's speaking in general. He's saying to everybody who thought that they were cooked. He says, me, I'm happy how we bounced back, especially after losing to Ole Miss.
Look, it was a week ago, a couple hours that we were dead and gone. You know, people had written us off. It's just, it's hard to play in this league week in and week out on the road. We've accumulated a tremendous amount of injuries from the schedule we've had. And it's you know, it's not going to really get any easier. It's a physical game. But when you play the gauntlet of what we played, it's taking its toll. We had a lot of guys sitting on the sideline tonight that couldn't play. But we also had a lot of guys that stepped up. And I think the way we practice has helped us grow some players who stepped up tonight and played big for us.
No, ETN did not play. Carson Beck, I'll tell you again, he didn't throw an interception. And I don't think anybody's wrong by looking at y'all and saying, how are y'all going to win a national championship? Nobody is pulling this out of thin air. I don't think anybody is disputing how good the SEC is. People are trying to figure out right now how many playoff spots they're going to get, you know, out of the upcoming 12. But the fact is, I told you Carson Beck has been an interception machine. This man has thrown 12 interceptions, 12, in the past six games. Like, nobody is making this up. The fact that Brock Bowers is out there catching, you know, passes from Gardner Minshew, this man might be Offensive Rookie of the Year, and he's not at Georgia, that has obviously hurt the Bulldogs. So I think everybody is justified in saying, how the hell are y'all going to be reliable? The Bulldogs are just a massive, massive wild card. They're going to run to a national championship with a defense is whooping them, or Carson Beck is going to throw an interception or two at the worst time. But Kirby Smart, he says, man, I don't doubt this man and his abilities.
Carson carries himself well, and I've been very consistent, even with some of the dumbest questions in the world, no offense, about our quarterback, because we see him every day. You know, he gets judged on outcomes and stats, but we don't judge based on that. We judge based internally on what gives us the best chance to win. And I'm never going to falter over what I see with my eyes. What I see with my eyes is a guy that's really good in the pocket. He's got poise. He's got composure. He puts us in the right play over and over again and makes good decisions.
Good. Whatever. Who cares what you do in practice? Hopefully what you do in practice leads to a positive outcome on the weekend. Nobody else cares about that. Hickey, does anybody give a damn what I prepare for? It depends. What matters is what I do here on the show, right?
That's what practice is for, right? To perfect as close as you can your in-game performance, because that's what you're judged on.
Yeah, nobody cares. So why Kirby, he's backing up his player. That's the only reason why he's saying this stuff, right? He has to play the public game to help give Carson Beck confidence. But even Kirby Smart knows this man been giving the ball over. That's what I see with my eyes.
Oh, I'm with you. I don't Carson Beck played, I would say, the best game of his career on Saturday. Still don't trust him.
Yeah.
Do not trust him at all, especially if you're talking about a road playoff game for Georgia. Good luck.
I'm in the same boat. I don't know. He's a coin flip quarterback right now. He's going to throw you into the game. Well, more likely than not, more recently, he has thrown you out of the game. And so what happens, I don't know, when he throws them out of the college football playoff? Is Kirby Smart going to stand around and tell everybody again, hey, by the way, we all lost. It wasn't just Carson. No, you can't put lipstick on a pig. Miss Piggy wears lipstick, and she's still an ugly pig dating a frog. That's just the reality of it. And Carson Beck can throw you out of a game. We all see it. You can't dress it up. I don't give a damn what happens in practice. Good luck to the Bulldogs. They should smash UMass. 50-8. Hickey, is that appropriate? 50-8? I don't know how I got 8, but 50-8?
I like it, yeah. Just go for 2. If you're down 50-0, you score with like 2 minutes left, screw it. Go for 2.
Yeah, why not? 50-8. And then they finish up against Vandy. Good luck to the Bulldogs. Flip it a coin. And speaking of that, how about on the other side of the country, out in Boulder, Colorado? Yeah, because this is what coaches do. They got to big up their players. They got to big them up. Unless you're at LSU and your players are ripping you apart on the sidelines. That's a lot of fun watching that happen to Brian Kelly. But we'll talk about that later on in the show. Let's talk about another winner. Let's talk about the Colorado Buffaloes. Just beat Utah 49-24. Shador is throwing three touchdowns. Travis Hunter is making amazing catches and intercepting the ball, and he's bolstering his Heisman odds. I think it's starting to lean in his direction a little bit more as opposed to Ashton Jeanty. Yeah, it's all coming together for Colorado. This is a team that went 4-8 last year. They're now 8-2. And Deion Sanders, of course, because everybody has to play the victim. It's sports. You got to tell everybody when things are not going well, you just got to, you know, kind of deflect. And when things are going great, you got to tell everybody, I told you so. You got to tell everybody that you're keeping receipts. And if you're Deion Sanders and you've been doing this for almost 40 years, Deion Sanders says, we ain't thinking about you or y'all or the people that hate me or want to hate on my students and my recruits and my players. Hey, we just focused in on Kansas next.
I'm so thankful, Jess. It seems as though the bowl is getting better and better and better because we're so focused and we're so dedicated on week to week, not looking down the street, but week to week. And I'm so darn proud of our coordinators, the staff, the young men, the women that's in this program, chef cooking his butt off in the kitchen, the training staff, everybody done a phenomenal job.
Oh, Hickey, that's the first time I heard the chef. That must be a good chef, okay? The chef is getting love. I never heard anybody think of chef.
You're right, and I agree. He must be cooking up some good meals for these boys.
Yeah, whatever they ate post-game, I don't know. Well, that must be some good food. You got to thank the chef.
Well, especially, too, feeding Travis Hunter, making sure he has enough energy for all these plays. I mean, that chef's probably more important than for, you know, chefs on other teams.
I'm going to – I don't know. Hickey, his diet is either clean as hell. Well, we all it's genetic. That's part of it, his endurance. Like, you don't just wake up and have his endurance. It's partially genetic. He has to be taking care of himself. Or he's just eating donuts and Cheerios. Hickey, he's either taking great care of himself and has great genetics, or he's eating the worst crap ever. I think it's one of the two.
I would agree. I would say it's the first. I would say it's the former here when it comes to his diet. I would bet you it's clean. I don't think he's on a DK Metcalf candy diet, which I don't know if I actually buy.
You can't look like DK. Well, maybe you can, right? He's one guy, one human being that looks like that.
And what I mean, he just eats candy and drinks coffee. That's what he claims.
No, that's a lie. Come on.
I agree, but that's what he's trying to tell the public. That's all he eats.
He'd be in the hospital. Maybe multiple times a day when he's not eating chicken breast and white rice and three giant pieces of broccoli, right? Come on.
And how many protein shakes? Probably five?
Oh, my God. That guy, what other wide receiver is built like him? Is anybody built like that guy?
No. Not that size, not that speed, not that agility, athleticism, no.
Yeah, that guy is, he's a freak of nature out there eating Skittles. Yeah, okay, sure. Whatever. And keep lying to the public. Hey, congratulations to Travis Hunter. I mean, he keeps up like this, and, yeah, he might go out there and win the Heisman. And Colorado, I mean, typically you look at Kansas and go, oh, they're gonna wear him out. But Kansas, they just beat BYU. They just went out there and beat Iowa State. So Kansas has started the season off like crap, and over the past couple of games, man, they played spoiler. Am I going to expect that and look at that for Colorado? Not necessarily. But good for Deion. Not that I care one way or the other, but there was a lot of hype for the program when he showed up, and then things fell apart. I think not justifiably so, but reasonably so. And people were looking to see what happened this year. You can't fight 8-2. You can't. You can't argue too much with who they played against. No, they're not playing in the SEC. They can only play who they play against in the Big 12. But 8-2 is still 8-2. And it will be interesting to see, you know, what they do over these next two games with Kansas, Oklahoma State, what they potentially could do in the Big 12 if they want to go ahead and maybe go on a playoff run. We'll see what that looks like for Colorado. And besides that, let's see where their top prospects end up, because Travis Hunter going to the NFL. Shador going to the NFL. Dion, we don't know what the hell he's going to do. It's the JR Sport Brief Show here with you coast to coast on the Infinity Sports Network. And how about this? We know Shador is going to the NFL. Could Shador end up on the New York Giants? We'll talk about them loser Giants on the other side of the break. They had the big NFL news early this morning when they said, Daniel Jones, you can take a seat. Your time here is basically done. 855-212-4227. That's 855-212-4227. You're locked into the JR Sport Brief Show. We're going to get into the New York Giants and their quarterback situation. Could Shador Sanders be the answer? We'll get into that on the other side.
You're listening to the JR Sport Brief.
It is the JR Sport Brief Show here with you coast to coast on the Infinity Sports Network. I need you to think O'Reilly Auto Parts for all of your car care needs. Get guaranteed low prices and excellent customer service from the professional parts people at O'Reilly Auto Parts. 855-212-4227. It's 855-212-4227. Right before we went to break, talked about the Georgia Bulldogs, talked about Colorado, the Buffaloes, and it just clicked in my brain that the next time we see Shador Sanders in another uniform, it might be for the New York Giants. I don't know how Shador and his personality, I don't know if his dad, I don't know if Dion, he says, I'm going to look out for my boy. Look out for both of my boys. Travis Hunter, too. Not my biological kid, but I'm going to look out for him. Would he want Shador with the New York Giants? Would that be a good look? I don't know. Do we need Sanders? Do we need the Sanders family in New York with the Giants, who just sucked for years now? Oh, man, it's been a long fall from Eli. People were like, Eli stinks, Eli sucks. Eli's going to the Hall of Fame. This man has two championships. The New York Giants, they've been ass, well, at the end of Eli's tenure, but post-Eli as well. And then the man who was tasked with identifying and finding the next quarterback, Dave Gettleman, he long gone. And the Giants have been left to pick up the pieces. Coach after coach, quarterback after quarterback. And the guy that Dave Gettleman selected out of UNC, he just got sat down. His name is Daniel Jones. I'm sure you heard about this earlier this morning. The New York Giants went to Germany and lost. Yeah, they went all the way to Germany to lose to the Panthers 20-17. The Giants can't score to save their lives. This is an NFL team. This is a professional squad that can't put up more than 15 points a game. Daniel Jones this year, 8 touchdowns to 7 interceptions. For his career, 22 victories and 44 losses. You can't keep blaming the talent or the lack of talent around him. Good talent, solid talents, can at least help elevate the team, utilizing their own skill set. That's not Daniel Jones. He's going to trip over himself. He's going to throw the ball to the wrong guy. He's going to get hurt. Just over the past two seasons, when he has started and been available when healthy enough, he's 3-13. This man got a $160 million deal because he was actually healthy with Saquon Barkley, and they beat the Minnesota Vikings in the postseason. And so now they can cut bait. After this season, they can say no more Daniel Jones. And the reason that they're benching him right now, so they don't have to pay him $23 million next year if he gets hurt. That's just what it is. And if you watch Daniel Jones play football, blowing out his knee, concussing himself, you know that this guy, he can get hurt. And so now what do? They bring back, I don't want to call him a cartoon character. It's mostly his agent. They bring in Tommy DeVito. Yeah, the agent on the sidelines with the big fedora hat and outfits and kissing everybody. And they bringing him back. And there's nobody more happier than his own agent, because now he gets all the television time in the world. And why is Tommy DeVito, the third string quarterback, going to be starting for the New York Giants? Well, it's because Drew Lock, he's owed $5 million this season. And if he plays, they're going to owe him more for every game and every snap that he's out there. So the New York Giants have basically punted on this season with good reason. They have a record of 2-8. And it is now Tommy DeVito time as they get ready to take on the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. I told you coaches lie to protect their players. You heard that from Kirby Smart. Deion will protect his players to the death. Well, in the NFL, the coaches typically lie to protect their own asses in the organization. Listen to this lie from Brian Daboll. He said he is excited about Tommy DeVito. He's the only person.
I'm excited to see what Tommy brings to the table. That's why he's out there, Pat. Again, we did a lot of, you know, we had a lot of conversations, studied a lot of stuff, and again, have confidence in Tommy, and that's the reason why he's in there.
Here's another lie. Hick, you ready for another lie?
Yes.
Okay, let's listen to this lie. Lie number two from Brian Daboll of amongst many lies. He says that Tommy DeVito, because he was with the team last year, he gives them the best chance of winning. Okay.
You know, after, you know, evaluating a bunch of things and looking at a lot of tape and being around Tommy last year where he created a little bit of a spark for us, that's the reason why we're going with Tommy.
Oh, okay. All right. Hickey, is anybody excited besides my old Italian neighbors in Yonkers? Is anybody else excited?
Can't be. Oh. Can't be. Wow. Are you excited? Doesn't sound like it.
I do not care, bro. I'd like to see Tommy. You know, I'm rooting for him. I want to see him do good. I want to see him upcharging for autographs again. I want to see his agent. I want to see him get a podcast. Does his agent have a podcast? Probably, right?
Probably.
I want to see his podcast become more popular. I want to see the memes. I want to see the video. I want to see it all. I mean, the New York Giants are so damn bad and terrible. At this stage of the year, outside of whatever Tommy DeVito does on the football field, and I think he'll be average. He'll have a good game, a bad game. You know, he'll be average. You might as well give me some entertainment. You know, let's see Tommy DeVito, you know, kicking a kid across the street on TMZ. Like, give me something. Give me something.
That's what you're hoping this That's what you want to see?
Not physically kicking the child. You know, denying an autograph. Okay, like, is that better? Denying an autograph?
Holding up a pizza place again?
Yeah. How much did he charge that place? If you want me to come to your pizza joint, it was like before he was the starter, it's like he'll show up for, you know, a bag of donuts, and then afterwards it's like I need $15,000. Something like that, right?
That free pile all of a sudden was not good enough anymore.
Yeah. But then he made good, right? Didn't he show up and do some stuff for a few hours?
Something. I mean, I'll be honest, I kind of stopped following that story, but I think you're right.
Good guy. He did what was right, you know? And who was wrong? His agent trying to screw the community down?
I mean, would you put it past him?
No.
Dressed like that? I wouldn't. I certainly would not.
What does he wear when they take on Tampa? What is he wearing?
Some stupid hat again from the 1920s.
Is he going to wear like a bright purple suit in that hat? Ugh. Purple suit.
I hope you don't find out enough.
Is he going to hide? Is he going to hide or is he going to hide and let Tommy get the attention? Or is he going to show up and be like, I'm the agent. I'm his guy.
What do you think? I'll let you answer your own question.
Man. Hickey?
Yo, you're debating it. You think there's a chance he would just stay low and let Tommy get this 15 minutes of fame here?
I think he's gonna tone it down a little bit.
Wow.
A little bit. He's going to tone it down a little bit. Come on, he has to have learned from the last experience, right? His guy sat all year. Not that he, what did you expect? But his guy sat all year. He's getting a chance. You don't think Tommy says to him, hey, let me just ball out the rest of the year. Pop up at the end. No?
I will give them credit that they were quiet when he wasn't playing, and they didn't want to make it about themselves as he was third string. I have a tough time believing all of a sudden now that he's thrust back in the spotlight. By the way, still half the season to go. that he'll just sit idly by and let Tommy, you know, douse or, you know, sit in the spotlight without him getting any sort of attention.
Finally, a reason to talk about the Giants, though. How about that?
Ugh.
The most important player, not player, but personality surrounding the Giants is the third string quarterback's agent. It's just what it is. Giants have been pathetic. It's the JR Sport Brief Show here with you coast to coast on the Infinity Sports Network. Yeah, Dion, keep Shador away from the Giants. Keep him away. We're going to take a break when we come back. How about this? We had another good game yesterday. We had the Steelers, the Ravens, and we had some bad performances over the weekend as well from the college side. I will explain. It's the JR Sport Brief Show. Don't move.